Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from the hails and the smells of North America. As always, my family, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an honor to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. We welcome you. If it's your first time listening, your second time listening, third time listening, or if you've been listening since day one, we welcome you and appreciate you. And as Minister Malcolm X say, I know we got some friends. I know we got some friends, but I know we got some enemies as well. And so, in the midst of all the enemies and all the detractors and all of those who would like to see the new Black Panther Party for self-defense slow down one iota, stop our actions for one iota, stop our momentum and our building for one iota, got something to tell you. You're going to be upset, buddy. Hey, Bill, you're going to be upset, guy. We're not slowing down for not 1 second, not one iota, not one inch are we letting this enemy go in. We're not giving up no yardage. The new Black Panther Party for self-defense is pressing on. You say pressing on to what? We're pressing on to self-determination. We're pressing on to self-determination. We're pressing on to Kujichagulia. That's what it means, self-determination. We're pressing on for a land of our own, to be able to control our own politics, to be able to control our own economics, to be able to have black power. Now, before I even get off into that, I want to send you all greetings on behalf of the boldest chairman anywhere. He ain't just the chairman of the board. He ain't just sitting behind some desk somewhere looking pretty. This is a black man who has been tried and tested. A brother who has been in the pits in the bowels of North America. A brother who has traveled this world, crisscrossed this country, Not in the name of Ford Motor Company. Hell no. Not in the name of Colgate. Not in the name of corporations that run America. This black man is crisscrossed this country in the name of black nationalism, in the name of revolutionary Pan-Africanism, in the name of activism for the black community, and in the name of building a nation of our own. This black man has stood up for us with an uncompromising, bold stance, unlike any other outside of his mentor, the Black Power General, Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. God sends you greetings on behalf of the warrior lawyer, the attorney at war, the black man on a mission. That's right, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. And for the enemies, for you enemies out there of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, may you choke on your spit tonight. May you choke on your spit tonight and sleep well in peace. For your loved ones, we appreciate you. We send you the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum and Hotep. Shalom, shalom. Peace to the gods, peace to the earths. What's up? We with you. Once again, it's our honor also to send you the greetings of Black Power from every single chapter, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, who stood up in all of the cities, major cities, and even minor cities in the hills and pits of North America. We got to make this case, brothers and sisters. We got to make this case for a land of our own, for independent revolutionary political power, for independent economic power, for independent agriculture, for international trade with Africa and indigenous countries. We got to make this case. We got to be willing right now to put our agenda to the forefront. Right now, no matter where you go in the world, brothers and sisters, every black man and black woman who has any kind of sense, they're making that dynamic demand for black power. I don't care where you come from, what your background is, what your persuasion is of religion, what language they speak. Any black man and black woman or indigenous man and indigenous woman out there, hell, they are making that case for black power. And guess who's spearheading? Guess who intends to stay in the vanguard position? Guess who intends to keep the black agenda on the forefront? Most definitely the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We ain't jumping out of this bed. We ain't trying to get over in no other lane. And some of y'all done punked out. You done punked all the way out. Now you done gone all the way multicultural. You a multicultural Negro now. And everybody else's agenda is just so equal or extra important, and you're not pushing the black agenda. You're not putting black power, black theology, black liberation on the forefront anymore. Now you gotta be a multicultural Negro. But as I say, in the beginning, if you got sense in 2011, if you got sense in your head, and you look at the condition of the ghettos and the black communities, and you look at the disproportion on all levels in our community, then you got to know off the top, as we say, off of the top, that the demand has to be made for black power. Now look, here we are, numbering about 22 million in the hills of North America. We over 11%, right about 13% of the population, making somewhere in upwards of 20 to 25% of the workforce, right? And then, soon it become the majority in about 10 of the larger northern cities. Y'all hear me? In 10 of the larger northern cities, we're due to be the majority. But even with all of that, all of those numbers I'm giving you, we have very little to any power of any kind. I mean, come on, think about it. We don't have economic power. We don't have social power. We don't have cultural power. We don't have political power. Think about it. I mean, this is a straight-up injustice, brothers and sisters. And the fact that you make up about 20 to 25% of the workforce, but you are denied any real power or any real political representation, that's one of the key points right there that automatically shows you the injustice, I mean the outright injustice of this capitalistic society. So you got to be willing now to ask yourself the question, how has so few, I'm talking about the ruling class, how has the ruling class, so few, managed to keep so many black people in such a powerless state? How has the ruling class, how has the white power structure been able to keep so many black men and women in such a politically powerless condition? And then we got to be willing to ask ourselves, how can we overcome this condition? See, it's one thing to know that things are bad, things are off point, there's injustices going on, there's mishaps going on, and things that there's ills and things that we don't like going on. But we have to be men and women in this hour and be willing to ask ourselves the question, how can this condition be overcome? I mean, really, it's one of the most serious problems for black people. And to be honest, family, our very survival, and future depends upon finding the correct solution to these issues. See, that's why at the beginning, you hear our national chairman tell you that you're not going to be able to have a bandana flag around your head and become extra patriotic in this hour and get out of this situation. It's not about your patriotism. It's not about how many hours you put in on the job. It's not about how many degrees you have under your belt. It's not about who can speak the most eloquently. It's not about who can sing the best song in the choir, or who can rap the best, or who can throw the most shots through the basketball rim. It ain't about none of that. It is about us overcoming the condition that we find ourselves in as a people and finding the correct solution to it. To be honest, in the extent that black people have participated in our own liberation, to be honest, it's very minimal. And then when you talk about political action, see, then all you get to talking about is the Democratic Party, or all you get to talking about is the Republican Party. Huh? When you get to talking about political action, it's almost always entirely through the two biggest capitalistic parties in existence, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And then when you go to get some kind of freedom or some kind of relief, it's always based upon the conditions that's laid out by your oppressor. Now, I want you all to think with me tonight on Black Power Radio. How in the world can you go for freedom? How can you go for freedom, and how can you go for liberation? How can you go for independence? And the basis and the criterion of your freedom and the basis and the criterion of your independence is the rules and the concepts laid down by our oppressors, or the terms that are laid down by exploiters. Y'all got to talk black to me tonight. We always fighting within the terms laid by their representatives. And these are our oppressors and our exploiters. See? See? We've been doing this stuff since really the mid-50s. You know what I'm saying? Our people have struggled. I mean, really before that, but our people have struggled for years, talking decades, have struggled and have met meager results. I mean, meager results. I mean, just look. I mean, about 13 years of struggle after the 54th Supreme Court decision. I mean, our dependence upon those two capitalistic parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, all that we have gotten out of our reliance on those parties is a couple of cheap concessions and phony civil rights bills. I mean, that's really what it is. That's all we've gotten is a couple of concessions and phony civil rights bills. But we have not gotten anything substantial, no substantial gains. Okay? And so the lack of substantial gain, brother and sister, that just pinpoints what the new Black Panther Party is talking about, the need for organizing and exercising genuinely independent black revolutionary political power. Y'all with me? Now look, the reason why we push our program, the way that we push our program, so that we can bring some real change, is because we want to see some considerable benefit, pardon me, for our people. We want some real change. We don't want that kind of change that Obama talking about. And Obama didn't give you change. This man has gone all over the globe pushing a white agenda, basically picking up from the same point, from the same hike line that President Bush left off at. So on everything, you look at the man's policies and the man's politics, he could be a Bush double. Ran on a campaign ticket of change It ain't a damn thing changed in the black community. In fact, the situation has gotten worse. More jobs have left black hands and black opportunity since the mayor has been in office. The dollar has all but tanked. The economy is all but collapsed and is in a free fall. It's not just his fault, but he's picking up exactly where Bush left off at. They're running from, they're playing from the same playbook. Sorry if that hurts your feelings. But we have not seen considerable benefit. We have not seen substantial change underneath these years of President Barack Hussein Obama's administration. We didn't see any change, any considerable change underneath President George Bush. We knew we wasn't going to get nothing from the executioner. You already knew that. But for those of you who ran off in line and danced your black self behind a glorified shower curtain and checkmarked Obama for president, I hope you feel real silly right now. I hope you feel real silly right now. This man bombing the hell out of Africa. Hell, we're just saying Libya. The man bombing the hell out of Africa. Bombing the hell out of your mother country. Not even one iota pushing a black agenda. Not even one iota even considered putting reparations and repair on the table. Not one iota. And the man is buck dancing to Zionist pressures. The hell kind of black power is that? There ain't no black power at all. It's white power and blackface. That's what I said. And so we have to bring benefit to our people. And we have to be able now to, since we are over 20 million in the hills of North America, over 20 million, over 11% of the population. So we have to be able now to leverage some real power. All these rappers out here, you selling millions of records, millions of CDs. You're going to have to now begin to take your listeners and your fans and your audience and begin to revolutionize your listeners. How in the hell do you have 10 million sold, 15 million sold, 20 million sold? You know what I mean? And you don't have any political recognition. The politicians, the people in the power structure, or the grassroots, you ain't connected to none of that. But you a rapper, though. You supposed to be rapping what's going on in the world and what's happening in the streets. You supposed to be rapping, you know, all the realities, but you're not even in tune with what's happening on the ground. You're not being the voice of the people. How in the hell is unemployment the way that it is? Healthcare the way that it is? And our communities are over-policed and occupied and crime-ridden and drug-destroyed, and that is not found in the majority of the rappers' lyrics today. Something to think about. How is it that all of this is happening? Wars is going on all fronts. Revolution breaking out all over the globe. CIA implanted frontmen causing ruckus and causing confusion all over the globe. And yet, this is not in your lyrics. This is not in your raps. This is not on your album. All you can give us, the black community, is booty-shaking music. All you can give us, the black community, is music that serves as theme songs for pimps. All you can give us, the black community, is music that has no substance, music that has no intellect, music that has no direction. And yet the world around you is collapsing. The dollar that you so glorify in your music has no value. It's fiat money. How is this? Our entertainers, that's all you can give us. How is it that those of us who play sports, whether it be NBA, NFL, college, whether you're a wrestler, whatever your thing is, baseball, how is it that you don't take the same stance that Muhammad Ali took? How is it that you're not willing in 2011 to say hell no to the draft? How is it that you're not willing, like our brothers who ran the track, you're not willing to stick your black fist in the air for a black power salute and connect to the black power generals, teachers, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, or his national chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, or any of the black nationalists that's out here? How is it that you're not willing to be identified with the black struggle, but you want us to support you and your product? You want us to support you and your shoe line. You want us to support you and your clothing line. You want us to support you. But you collectively are not supporting the black agenda. You collectively are not supporting black economics. Many of you grew up in the ghetto. You grew up in the hood. And many of you sad sights won't even give monies back to the very communities in which you came from. You won't build up community centers. And you know your community is crime ridden, but you won't even give back to the areas that helped to shape you and give you the zeal to be something greater than what you saw in your own areas and neighborhoods. You are just as complicit to the destruction of the black community for your inactivity as the black man and black woman who is selling dope and drugs and CIA inserted toxic biological chemical warfare in our community. You're just as complicit, because sometimes inaction is just like doing a negative action yourself. We have to be able to leverage some power. We have to give maximum power to our people, a united power to our people. And we have to now, brothers and sisters, prepare ourselves to revolutionize this capitalistic society that we live in today. That's what I said. It's Sean Kwali, so you know who said it. You got to prepare yourself now for the task, the awesome task of revolutionizing this oppressive, racist, capitalist society. That's what the new Black Panther Party's on. Black people all throughout the hills of North America, we lack power. It ain't just political power. We lack all power. And it's real, because power, revolutionary power, that's the key, brothers and sisters. That's the key to breaking out this vicious circle of social, economic, and cultural deprivation. When you got power, see, let me tell you all something. Nobody, no culture, no ethnic group with power experiences the things that the black nation or black people, the descendants of African slaves, experience. You don't hear about a young white male being shot down before his wedding day 50 times. You don't hear about a young white male or even white female or an Asian male or Asian female or Hispanic male or Hispanic female being shot point blank range in the back of the head on the BART railway system like what happened to Brother Oscar Grant. You don't hear about any of them ethnic groups I named getting their eyeballs rearranged in their sockets and beat down like a rag doll in the middle of the street, like what happened to Brother Rodney King. You don't hear about it. You don't hear about atrocities that have happened. And I mean, forgive me, but it's just too long of a list to name. I'm just trying to spark your memory here. But you don't hear about the atrocities that happen to us, to any other ethnic group in the world that happens to us. Them white folks get pulled over by the police. Hey, they're all like, hey, why are you stopping me? Hey, I didn't do anything. And they exercise all kind of nuances and politics on the police officer. You get pulled over and you say, why are you stopping me? And you're liable to get your head cracked open. Open wide. You know why? Because the white power structure, the system, the order of the white man and white folks, it benefits them on a daily and consistent basis. And I don't care how many of them say they're not racist. If they are enjoying the comforts of this white supremacist, racist, governmental power structure, no matter what generation it is, they are just as complicit and just as much participating in white power and white supremacy as the hooded KKK or the Aryan Brotherhood white nationalists who is promoting their all-white agenda. The same thing, brother and sister. I damn it, these racists run the whole country. And you got nerves to listen to them and say, I'm not a racist. Some of my best friends are black. But damn it, you participating in the same oppression, the same circumstance that keeps a whole nation of people powerless and degenerate. Keeps a whole nation of people displaced, disillusioned, disenfranchised, disembarked, disengaged, and all the way dissed, period. You're participating in the same power structure that upholds our oppression. So, for that matter, if they're not willing to take revolutionary action against their oppressive power structure and the oppressive conditions that their forefathers and foremothers have placed our forefathers and foremothers in and us in today, then they are very much racist. And in that sense, every white man and white woman upholds white supremacy and upholds the white power structure. Every white man and white woman on the face of 196,940,000 square miles that benefits from white privilege and benefits from the white power structure and the white supremacist elements that exist, you are a racist, and I'll tell you to your face and dare you to try to refute me. I dare any of you to try to refute me on that. This is not a new system. This is not a new way of governing. This goes back farther than 1555, black man and black woman. It goes back farther than when we were on the slave ships as a people. They have ruled like this since the very beginning of their origins on this planet. And so the stuff that you see today, it ain't nothing new. Why the hell you think John Hanson is on the back of their currency? They've always used black men to uphold their establishment. And if you want to really talk something revolutionary, it's not just going to be the white man. It has to be sat down from power. You're going to have to overthrow these Negroes and these niggas in power too. These Negroes who have been given power by the white man, who boast in the power and the authority of the white man, who revel and loathe in the power of the white power structure, they will have to be sat down long before you can even get to the white oppressor. Oh, yeah. The same scenario as what happened on the plantation. The white man would stand a slave up. Stand a slave up and tell that slave what to say. Tell that slave what to preach. Tell that slave a certain passage to talk about out of the Bible they revised. And they better not say nothing different. You better not go past certain passages and chapters. In Obama's case, you better not go past the teleprompter. You better not do it, because they will make an example out of you. And they've made an example out of that black man. They've made an example out of many of our leaders who have dared to stand up and confront oppression. Hey, look at the Black Panther Party of the 1960s, the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Our comrades. Them brothers and sisters didn't stop soldiering because they got tired. Them brothers and sisters didn't stop organizing because they were slowing down. Our brothers and sisters from the Black Panther Party of the 1960s were usurped from their positions of power and their political revolutionary power in the black community by the white power structure. COINTELPRO was targeted at many groups, but specifically the Black Panther Party. All effort was used to shut down the efforts of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under the leadership of the Honorable Comrade Huey P. Newton. Wasn't because they didn't want a soldier. Wasn't because that they went to some kind of revolutionary retirement home. Wasn't because they met every new point on the 10-point program. It was because the white man interceded and used illegal tactics to fight against our brothers and our sisters. They use illegal tactics, just like they do today. Illegal tactics. For those of you who you so into the law and all you can talk about is the law, the white man and the white power structure does not play by the law. At a certain point in our development as a nation, yeah, you got to have law. You got to have governing. You got to have order. You have to have discipline. But at a certain point in our march for freedom and liberation, damn it, the law book got to get shut down. This cracker has not played by the law in 6,000 years. Hell, our national chairman is an attorney, and he will tell you, to your face, the white man changes the law however they feel like it. Look at what happened with Comrade Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton. Them brothers were students coming out of Merritt College. They had studied the law. They were studying them law books, and they organized and understood that it was legal to carry open arms. It was legal to open carry in their state for self-defense. They knew all kind of fishing codes and everything. They had it down packed. And they exercised their rights to bear arms on their state capital. They exercised their right to bear arms against the police department of Oakland, who at that time, I believe, had somewhere around 3% to 5% black people on the force. They exercised their power. And as soon as they exercised their power, and as soon as them as black brothers and sisters woke up and got hip to the law, then you had a thing called the Mulford Act. Them white folks threw in the Mulford Act, which made it illegal for them to carry their arms in plain view. And ultimately, it was a bill that was aimed directly at the Black Panther Party. These crackers change the law however they feel like. But you out here so busy trying to have this peaceful existence, this peaceful coexistence, this I don't want to upset anybody existence, this I want to make sure all my I's are dotted and T's are crossed, and you want to do everything so, you know, correct, as they say. What they call it? You know, politically correct. Plantation politics. Their version of politics correct. You want to do it their way correctly. You want to try to stay in line with their agenda. You don't want to upset the slave master or their slave master's children. You don't want to upset the oppressor and our exploiters. You don't want to bother them. You just want to do everything the right way. But how in the hell can you do everything the right way in a wrong society? I'm not telling you to do nothing crazy. I'm asking you to think, brother and sister. I'm saying, how can you gain victory existing within the parameters and the box that they set for you? If all you're going to do is go to work, go to school, mow your lawn, turn over your mulch, buy a car, sell a car, buy a truck, sell a truck, all you're going to do is just the normal thing that Negroes do. If that's all you're going to do is do the normal thing, you will never be free. You will never, ever, ever be out of the conditions that our people are in. You will never see an end to black-on-black violence. You will never see an end to crime. You will never see an end to unemployment. You will never see an end to unfair taxation and illegal health care practices and the gouging of gas prices. You will never see an end to it. If all you're going to do is the regular thing, all you're going to do is just go to church and say hallelujah and praise the Lord. All you're going to do is go to the mosque and say Allahu Akbar and pray. And that's all you're going to do is do religious rituals. That's all you're going to do. If that's all you're going to do, you will not be free from the condition that you're in and that we're in. You will not, because guess what? For the religious houses, all the religious books say that the devil would be in the religious house, implanted in the religious house, and that the judgment of God would have to start in the religious houses. That's where you're going to find your most hypocrites and your most and the most backbiters and the most lip professors is going to be in the houses of God. I know I'm hurting some feelings, but I don't give a damn. It ain't about you just going to church or just going to mosque or just going to synagogue or to the temple. It ain't about that. At one point, the whole earth was a mosque, a church, a synagogue. We worshiped the black God on the planet. We knew about the black God inside of ourselves. We need these houses of worship, no disrespect to them. We need them to serve as reminders because we live in an evil world. And you got to have somewhere to go to where you can find some peace and contentment outside of the normal evils of this world. But damn, you find some of the same negativity in the church, the same negativity in the mosque, the same negativity in the synagogue that you find on the streets and in the clubs sometimes. And if that's the best that the church and the mosque and the synagogue can give us, then the hell with church, mosque, and synagogue. If you ain't willing to drive that up out of there. We can't get free like that. There's no way we going to get free and be able to leverage united power and revolutionize this oppressive, racist, capitalist society. Just playing church, just playing mosque, just playing synagogue. And you know what I'm saying? All you think you got to do is say a few prayers and everything is damn cool. And prayer ain't stopped not nail bullets from flying in the hood. Prayer is inner meditation and meditation and consultation to your creator. But after you pray and after we pray, we got to get up and answer our prayers with belief in the black God. With belief in the black God. You got to be willing to get up. Get up and answer your own prayer. Hell, if you wanted your loaf of bread, you didn't just sit around and pray for your bread. You sitting there starving, you and your queen and your babies, you're sitting there starving in your home, and all you're going to sit up there and do is pray for some bread. You're going to sit up there and pray for a job and pray the white man give you a job. Sit up there and pray that you put some money in your pocket, your broke pockets. And all that praying that you're doing ain't not near dollar or a loaf of wheat bread, a whole wheat toast, fell out the sky not one time in all of the existence of man, unless it was some man up there and dropped it down out of an airplane. You got to get real, brother and sister. See, I'm not going to go as far as the Panther Party formation of the 60s and say we don't need spirituality, because we do need spirituality. You cannot be successful with the black nation, with black people, and separate us from our spiritualities. We can't function like that. And we have always been connected to the divine. We've always been connected to the spiritual. We are a spiritual people. But with white racist Christianity and white racist Islam and white racist Judaism or Hebrews, it has completely confused our spiritualities and completely messed us up and made us just ultra spooky. There's so many rituals going around the black nation and not enough work happening in the black community. If we took time for all these monies that's being spent to build up mega churches, that damn Creflo Dollar and T.D. Jakes and them got mega churches. They ain't the only ones. They making all kinds of money. Some of these churches, you can't even go in unless you show your tax forms and your tax receipts. If you took time to invest the monies that's coming into that church into your neighborhoods and into your community, then you could really have something to talk about. Then you could really win the people over to what you're saying. And the mosque ain't no different. People building mosques all over the place, gold mosque here, this kind of mosque there, and the work and the investment is not going back into the community. Again, we need the spiritual houses. I'm saying invest that money into the black community. All that money is being collected in the name of religion. How in the hell do we have black people sleeping outside of religious houses, damn near butt naked, and you collecting thousands of dollars a week in many cases? How in the world do you have people that don't have employment, yet you have your own infrastructures in your religious houses? How in the world do we, as black people, not have our own green thumb, and we're not producing our own food and our own farmland, and we're not tilling our own soil, yet all this money is coming in the hands of these ministers and these preachers in the name of God? It's BS and it's hypocrisy, black man and black woman. It's BS and it's hypocrisy. This is a vicious cycle that we're in. It's a vicious cycle of cultural deprivation that we're in and discrimination that we're in imposed on us by this beast. You're preaching all this stuff, but you're not changing everyday life. If you are changing everyday life, I ain't talking to you, but you know who I'm talking about and who I'm talking to. You have become divorced from the black man and black woman's basic needs. And that's why the new Black Panther Party program is a program of basic need. We're talking food, clothing, shelter, survival. Food, clothing, shelter, survival. Ain't nothing. I don't care how many points you got on the program. All of it revolves around food, clothing, shelter, and survival. See? White folks do it for themselves. Yellow folks do it for themselves. Brown folks do it for themselves. Red people do it for themselves. Only the pitiful poor black man and black woman sitting around waiting on a handout from your 6,000-year-old oppressor. Sitting around waiting for a stamp of approval from the white man to say it's okay to be free and be liberated. You sitting around thinking about Abraham Lincoln saying Abraham Lincoln freed his slaves and we ain't free yet. Hell, Abraham Lincoln freed a slave and the damn colonies wasn't even created. The damn states, they wasn't even, the unions of it, they wasn't even established all the way. He didn't even really have the power to do it. It was a collective effort that was economically sound to keep the union sound. They didn't free us. They just emancipated us from that version of slavery. Notice I said that version of slavery. There was no redistribution of wealth. There was no redistribution of power. There was no talk of land ownership. Many of our brothers and sisters who owned land, who became free and owned land, many of their lands were taken from them by this cracker. Some of you conservatives, you want to talk about the Reconstruction period of America. Why don't you talk about how the white man was taking the land of the black man? How many who were put in power during the Reconstruction period, who became lawyers and judges and landowners and business owners, their power, their base, and their land was stripped from them. Same way that's happening today. When you look at BET and Johnson & Johnson and black newspapers, it's all being taken from black people. And we too deaf, dumb, and blind to even raise an eyebrow about it. You don't even care. You say, all right, there go Brother Sean again. He talking that black stuff. There go them Panthers again. They talking that hate talk. They talking a hate message. Some of you so stupid, you would listen to the white man tell you that the new Black Panther Party teach hate. That the new Black Panther Party is a party about racism. Let me tell you something. You cannot fight racism with racism. The black man and black woman, if we don't have political power, we don't have economic power, we don't have social power, we don't have cultural power, how in the world can any black man be a racist? Now, if you want to call me prejudice, all right, fine, call me prejudice then. Because prejudice means to prejudge, right? Prejudge. But really, to be honest, you can't even call me prejudice. You know why? Because we've been under this oppression for 6,000 plus years. So I ain't prejudging nothing before no facts. I'm spouting off your own white history to you and what my own people have suffered under your hand and rule. So I ain't even prejudiced, but if that's what you want to say, and you can, I'll be more comfortable with you saying that. But to say racist, racism is prejudice plus power. Racism is prejudice plus power. So how can any black man or woman be a racist and we don't have no power? Nothing that we say on this airwave is going to stop not one white man from getting up and getting a parking space or going to a lunch counter or getting some out of a water fountain. Nothing that we say on Black Power Radio is going to stop you from going to the movies or getting on the back of the bus. Nothing that we say on Black Power Radio will make you be hung from a tree tonight. But we got a whole history of your racism. Yeah, ADL, because I know that you listening too. You always try to have your foot on the back of the new Black Panther Party. We got a whole history of your criminality, your links to mafia figures. We got a whole history of your anti-Semitism and your true anti-Semitism, because we the true Semites. We the true Hebrews. You all have been anti-Semitic from your very inception. No good bastards. Hell, black people are kept out of every crucial decision that affects our life. Every crucial decision that affects black people's life, we are kept out of it. Political power, if you want to talk politics and political power, that means the capacity to assert the needs and aspirations of a group and to see that they're fulfilled. Full political power means that a group runs its own affairs and determines its own destiny. Y'all hear me? That means that we determine our own destiny. We determine our own politics. We determine what happens within our own community. All right? But if we can't do that, then we don't have power. We do not have authority. We do not have true manhood and womanhood. We slaves in the hells of North America. We were brought here, our people were brought here for the purpose of being made into slaves and to be made workers for free labor. And the trend has continued with the prison industrial complex. I got to take you all's calls. You all just bear with me on these next few points. Look, man, our people were brought here with the express purpose of being slaves. So when you look at what's happening with the prison industrial complex, the jails, city, county, and local jails, they are making immediate slaves out of your family and my family. You want to know why the new Black Panther Party and our 10-point program says we want black people freed, all black people freed from the numerous jails, both local, city, state, county, and federal? You want to know why? It's because a criminal institution such as the United Snakes of America cannot, under any real authority, jail the people it has enslaved. How can a criminal institution, an illegal corporation, jail a whole nation of people that it has enslaved? And also the very crimes, I'm talking all of the crimes that our people commit. America itself, its leadership, has committed the same crimes and worse. I'm going to say that again. The same crimes that you have incarcerated my brothers and my sisters, my family, our family, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, our sisters, brothers, nieces, nephews, loved ones, kinfolk, our friends, the same crimes that you have enslaved and incarcerated our people on. Your leadership has done to establish this nation and establish your corporations and to establish your businesses, and you continue the same practices today. So I ask the question, who will incarcerate you then? Who will put your leadership behind bars? Who will bring you up on charges?
Yeah.
If it's legal for you to incarcerate my people, to beat my people through your police force, tasing my people to death, if not shoot us down in the streets for traffic violations, then, as the Bible says, as you have done to others, so shall it will be done unto you. You want to talk scripture, preacher? As they have done to others, it is written, it shall be done unto them. Well, who brings them to the law of justice? See, we're talking about power now. Talking about some real power now. This ain't for you shaky ones out there. This ain't for you yellow bone ones out there. You scared to death Negroes out there. This ain't for you who just want to pray away everything. Meditate away everything and think you're going to float away somewhere. This ain't for you, if you like it. This is for some real soldiers right here. Who brings them to the bar of justice? Who begins to raise the question as to why we are effectively excluded from every crucial decision affecting our lives? The policies that determine how we will live, they're made by other people, and they're made by those that don't care nothing about us. They're imposed on us. All these laws that come down, all these bills that come down, all these things that are passed through the Senate and passed through Congress, they're not checked by the people. They are sent through the Senate and sent through Congress and sent through the desk of the presidency without any consultation to the people. Every aspect of black life is governed by the decisions of the Democratic and Republican agents of the capitalistic rulers of this country. That's what I said. See, black people, you're so quick to say, I'm a Democrat, because you're so anti-Republican. But damn it, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are both capitalistic parties. They are both controlled by the racist, capitalistic rulers of this country. The actions of the Democratic Party and the actions of the Republican Party, or really the inaction of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, they keep us in a perpetual state of inequality, poverty, degradation, police brutality, insecurity, unemployment, low-paying jobs, bad schools, inadequate housing and medical facilities. They keep us through their FDA at a low lifespan. See, all this is federal, brothers and sisters. Y'all not hearing me? All of this is federal. And there's a host of other things that we suffer. So the only way that we are going to get free, and I got to make this clear here, on whose spirit that we come in, thanking the black one God for all of our ancestors and our freedom fighters, truth tellers, even those that are on the scene today. We come in the spirit of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man. Uncompromising, unflinching, unrelenting on our enemy and oppressor. The black man who said that his mission was and is, to give the white man hell, and the white man and you Negroes hell, from the cradle to the grave. The new Black Panther Party comes in the spirit of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. And it was him who told you over and over and over again that revolution is the only solution. What's the solution? Revolution is the only solution. The conditions that black people find ourselves in, if you're honest with yourself, brother and sister, these are intolerable conditions. Well, they should be. They should be intolerable conditions. They should be so unbalanced to you. It should get so uneasy for you. It should get so uncomfortable for you that you no longer can sit around and watch yourself, your family, and your people suffer the way that we are suffering. Why do you think that Tunisia rose up and Egypt rose up and Libya is resisting? China is ready for war. Pakistan now on the verge of war, all against U.S. imperialism. Why do you think all of these countries are ready for war right now? Cuba still ready for war. Venezuela ready for war against U.S. imperialism. And here the pitiful slang is in the hands of North America. You are robbed of every single outlet for freedom and independence and kept in a perpetual state of ignorance and deprivation. And you have nerve in 2011 to walk around like you have nothing to fight for. Y'all didn't hear what I said. In 2011, you're walking around like you have nothing to do. Like all you can do is just be a normal Negro. Go to school, go to wherever, go to the club and come on Black Hall. And all of this is happening. You in the heart of the beast. You're getting it the worst. Our people are incarcerated at a rate that equals the amount of the total population of some countries. Of some countries, and you feel like you ain't got nothing to fight for. I watched some of you punk sissies on April 23rd. I ain't talking to the organizers. I'm talking to some of you punk sissies out there. You let the white man scare you from organizing for freedom. You let the white man, his local police departments, and his deception tactics, you let them scare you from organizing for self-determination, and you have suffered the most inhumane injustices of any people anywhere on the planet. Damn it, I gotta talk straight to you. The most inhumane conditions of any people on the planet are experienced by black people. And yet you allow, with your weak self, you allow a few emails, a little internet propaganda, no stamp of approval by the white corporations on CNN and his news outlets, a few prank calls by some in some cities, police officers in other cities, just backwards white folks. You let that little bit of nothing scare you away from organizing and doing the right thing for your people on April 23rd. See, that's why we got to come back and reorganize and push harder and build harder. We got to push you scared to death Negroes all the way out of the way. You're all the way out the camp now. And for June the 25th, there ain't nothing but frontline soldiers popping up. For the National Day of Action, for June the 25th, it ain't going to be nothing but frontline soldiers. Scared of death Negroes ought to be pushed in a pond somewhere. Not by any of our hands, of course. You see, pushed in a pond somewhere. Because here it is, every decision affecting your life is in the hands of another person. You're being ruled by these Republican and Democratic agents, by these capitalistic rulers that keep us in all these intolerable conditions. And you won't even unite. You won't even get into the all-out battle. You won't even hit these big businesses, capitalist, black and white, red and yellow business owners in their pockets with a buy a black campaign. You can't even deny yourself a damn Reese's cup. But then you won't get all on Facebook and talk all this black liberation, all this black power, all this what you're going to do and what somebody else need to do. And you won't even participate because the damn white man scared you away from some April 23rd. Coward. You a coward. And the babies that say it to your face, you a coward. These babies is out here shooting up everything. They're frustrated. They're angry. They're pissed off. We don't have enough leaders out here on the ground telling them who the hell is keeping us in this position. Who the hell is keeping them powerless? Who the hell is keeping them disenfranchised? Who the hell is keeping them institutionalized? There's not enough leadership out here on the ground, but all the leadership sitting behind your damn pretty ass desk and in your damn limousines and Mercedes Benzes. You punk cowards. You're some punk cowards. You're some sissies. And I'm thankful to God that when Khalid Muhammad was here, he kicked some of you down flights of stairs. I ain't even gonna name your names, but you know who I'm talking about. I'm thankful to God he whipped your asses when he was here. You're some cowards. Our people are dying every day in the streets. Dying every day in the black community, and all you can do is ride around and look pretty and, you know what I mean, go get your nails manicured. Damn grown-ass man running around getting your nails manicured and putting clear fingernail polish on your fingernails. You're a metrosexual sissy. These are intolerable conditions that we're in right now and that we've been in. And we have to have organizations that are under our control if we are going to wage an effective fight. Stop talking to us about why white people can't join the new Black Panther Party. Scared of deaf Negroes. Stop talking to us about why white people cannot join the new Black Panther Party. You let them in your organization. That's what you want to do. You sit next to Bill and Buffy and Heather. You sit next to them. You do that when your organization. Hell no, we're not going to be found doing that ever in the history of the new Black Panther Party. It'll be a revolt so fast in the new Black Panther Party to make your head spin. Please. If we are going to have some real power, if we are going to fight these intolerable conditions, we have to have a massive, united, all-out fight that will hit the big business rulers right in the center of their grip, in the center of their power. You're going to have to struggle to survive and struggle for some freedom. See? That's the way they control. With their legal authority and state power. That's how they control. They control you through their legal authority and their state power because you don't know it's an illegal authority. And it's an illegal power. But if we're going to do it effectively, brothers and sisters, if we're going to carry out an effective fight for black political revolutionary power, then black people have to have our own organization under our own control. It has to be black nationalists. That's why the new Black Panther Party will not allow not one single white person in the organization. How the hell can we be fighting for black revolution, black freedom, and black power, and we got to go through the red tape and got to watch what we say and watch how we think and move because we got these white folks in our organization. We don't want to piss off no white folks. White folks cutting the check all the time and pulling our strings all the time, and so we got to watch what the hell we do. You make me sick like that. These damn nationalist organizations you infiltrated with white folks. So concerned about what white folks think about your revolution. Because you don't want to come off as a hater or a discriminator. Fool, you the victim of hatred and discrimination. We are the most racially profiled people anywhere in the world. But you worried about what they think about you. See, the white man understands the need for white political action that benefits them. They understand it. They use it on a daily and consistent basis. Every time you vote Democrat. Every time you vote Republican, and even in many instances, independent, you are upholding white supremacy and the white politics, the plantation politics that has kept our people in the conditions that we find ourselves in. See? They understand having you under their control. That's why they have political parties. They don't just have one political party. They got two political parties that they control and through which they control and exercise a political monopoly. See? And that ain't the only way they keep rulership. They got ownership of industry. They got ownership and power over the money. They got power over the credit. They got power over the mass media. They got power over the schools. They got power over the police force and the armed forces. And their power is not just coming out of a gun. For those of you that are so gun happy and trigger happy, their power ain't just coming out of no gun. It ain't just about the gun alone. If it was just about them having naked force, then their resources of their rulership, it'd be exhausted because it would always be a battle between the oppressors and the oppressed, and we outnumber them 11 to 1, so they couldn't have enough arms for us all. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying on Black Power Radio. You ain't hearing what I'm saying on Black Power Radio. If it was just about brute force on armed confrontation, they would be exhausted. Like they have always done throughout history, brothers and sisters. This ain't no new thing, like they have always done. Their rulers practice deception. The white man and white folks, they use the art of war on your black behinds. They study Sun Tzu. They study Machiavelli. But here, behind, before all of that, they study Hannibal of Carthage and our black generals. They study warfare. Warfare is deception. Warfare is illusion. It's David Copperfield with real bloodshed. All war is politics with bloodshed. It's corporations that can't reach an agreement until they decide to send in the troops. I'm going to take your calls. I'm going to take your call. Yeah, man, I got to just take a call, too. But I'm just trying to get you all to understand the condition that we're in and why we have to push for political power, true politics. And when I say politics, I'm talking about for us. Let me take this call here. 225-330. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Let me take your quick question and comment. Black Power.
Yeah, man. It's PD of LA, man.
This is who?
I don't know. I'm just, man, I'm messed up. You know, I mean, I got plenty of people out there that would fight on side of me if the revolution broke out. And then on top of that, you know, I hear a radio show like this, and it messes me up, man, because, you know, it brings me so far back to where I thought we was.
Well, where did you think that we was?
Well, I mean, I look at my friends, you know, and I say friends, and I think of them as brothers, you know what I mean? And we cool, we tight. He got my back, I got his back. And then I hear shows like these, and it brings me back, you know. It makes me think, just because of the color of my skin, I'm hated. And I don't know why.
You talking hated because what, you a white man?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm PD, man. I was in your chat room, you blocked me.
Huh?
I was PD, I was in your chat room, man, you blocked me.
I'm not over the chat room, but let me say this. Ain't nothing I said on this show got nothing to do with your skin color. I didn't say nothing about your skin color. I spoke all about the truth, though, and it's up to you to bear witness to the truth that was said. The fact of the matter is, and it's undeniable, irrefutable truth, that white folks benefit from white privilege. It ain't just me saying it. It's your scholars that say it. It's your scientists of culture that say it, and I'm saying it. You benefit from white privilege and from white supremacy. And as the Black Power General said, as he said, that if you are not willing to give the oppressed John Brown action, then you are just as guilty as those who put us in this condition. So it has nothing to do, it has nothing to do with your personal feelings, how you feel about it, none of that. It's got everything to do with the condition that we find ourselves in. Am I making myself clear?
I see police that target black people. I mean, I was a security officer in New Orleans, and a lot of you know, you've seen it on national news. I mean, a lot of black people were left stranded.
Why is that?
You know, when.
Why is that? Why were black people left stranded during Hurricane America, what you all call Hurricane Katrina?
Because Bush didn't do anything. I mean, Mayor Ray Nagin, he did everything he could to cut the red tape and everything, and Bush never came. Never came next.
All right. Okay, so President Bush is a white man, right?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I agree 110%.
He's over a white power structure. So President Bush's inactivity caused the death of untold black men, women, and children, right?
Thousands.
Okay. So wouldn't you call that an inhumane act?
Yes, but at the same time, would you hate me because Bush did something bad? Would you hate me?
Let me tell you something, sir. I say it like Dr. Collins said. I don't even know you. I don't even know you. See, that's what I'm
but
saying.
I'm white.
You all are quick to reduce it to hatred. Ain't nothing I said hatred. Everything I said was love for my people. Let me tell you something, sir. If you saw your people being dogged out, their people were robbed of their names, their language, their culture, their religions, their folkways, their foreways, robbed of the very power of their own beings. Their schools were inadequate. Their health care was inadequate. The living conditions inadequate. all right? And you saw your homes broken apart, the families broken apart, and the shoe was on the other foot, and it was a black man, a black woman that put your people in that condition. How would you feel?
Let me say this, okay? Can I say
how would you feel?
I'd be upset, but I'm gonna tell you this.
Okay, is that hatred? Is that hatred because you'd be upset at the condition you find your people in?
I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed
right
if I seen any.
So
any
it's unfair to say that we're speaking hatred, or that the new Black Panther Party is talking hatred, because we're talking about the conditions that your people, forefathers and foremothers, put us in.
Sir, let me say this. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you decided to open a business tomorrow, you could go, the sky's the limit. I will say that. I will say tomorrow, if you decided to open whatever business you wanted, selling toothbrushes, if you put forth every effort that you could into selling those toothbrushes, you would succeed just as much as anybody else. Okay, now I'm not saying
where's your proof of that? Black businesses are going belly up in the black community. Why?
Sir, I have a client of mine that's Dr. Marie, okay? She publishes books and everything. She just ordered some more braces from me today. She's a black African-American woman, okay, African-American female. She is doing excellent. She is prospering beyond me right now.
And so because you know a person in your life who's doing excellent. I know plenty of blacks that are doing fantastic. Oprah just had her last show. Oprah's a millionaire. There's plenty of black people that are doing fantastic in terms of their money status, their financial status. That has nothing to do with the overall condition of the black man and black woman in America. That's just like, let me take it right back to you. If you were in Europe, right? If you were in Europe and you were one of the peasantries, or you were one of the ones who would not consider royal family, but the royal family was doing okay, and your family was starving. How does it help you?
Sir, I just ate out of a can. I told you in the chat room, me and my family about a month and a half ago ate out of a can. We ate.
Your phone is breaking up. You might need to roll up your window if you're in a car.
Mixed with rice because we had nothing to eat. I mean, poverty is poverty.
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to give you a chance. Your phone is going in and out. I don't know if you by a window, got some air going into your phone. We want to let you get your point out. I'm going to give you a chance to get your point out. And let's try it again.
I mean, I don't want to put too much of my personal business out there, but we not exactly living large. I mean, really,
and?
I drive a 1998 Mazda that's rolling on one wheel. And eating food out of a can. I mean, I have a few clients. I'm trying to build my business as every American. I mean, you know, you have to start somewhere. And I pretty much put us in the poorhouse trying to do it. Just as some of my other friends. I mean, I have my friend Drew. Andrew, he's black. He's making freaking $7,000 a month doing radiologist technology. And
okay.
He's making way more than I am. I mean, I love him to death. I mean, I grew up with him. I grew up with Drew. And I have my friend D. He's from Jamaica. I mean, Jamaican people, I think, have a little less animosity towards American white people because they wasn't here for the slavery.
Have you ever been to Jamaica?
I'm sorry.
Have you ever been to Jamaica?
No, I'd love to go. I would love to go.
I don't know if I'd make that statement. But let me say this to you again. See, this goes back to the same premise of that some of my friends are black. Let me tell you this. Has nothing to do with those that you know in your personal life who have some money. Again, I'm making the same point. I know people of many ethnic backgrounds who have money. Money does not solve the complete issues that the community is facing. See, you're looking at it from the scope of this person has money, so they're doing good. That person doesn't have money, they're doing bad. No, sir. What we are saying here to you tonight is that what you're talking about, a people. Let me just, before I even get into that, do you know who your grandfather is?
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
Well, my grandfather died when I was a year old, but yeah,
I mean,
I know who he is.
What about your great-grandfather?
No. I don't have any family background.
Do you know your ancestors? You say you're Caucasian, right?
My real father left when I was 5 years old. He left.
What is your ancestor? Do you have an ancestry?
Well, Irish. I mean, they mainly from Ireland.
So off of the bat, you already know your ancestry. You already have your own original language. You already are growing up in a society that is predominantly run by Caucasians. Okay? And so you automatically coming into the world already come in a few feet ahead of the average black man and black woman. Now, okay.
Oh, I don't disagree 100%. I agree with you 100%. I do,
okay,
because
then,
of
so
what
the
was
argument?
Structured back then. But
the
what
argument?
I'm saying now is where's the change? What do we have to do to make a change now to where everyone has the same?
You gotta fight. You gotta fight white supremacy.
But the thing is, it's only a few. It's only the few. There's a lot of cops out there. There's a lot of people out there that still despise black people in Louisiana. I'm not blind. I can see it.
Okay.
But it's not me.
All right.
It's not me. I don't want to be the target of something that is not me.
Okay.
And so
what are you doing to offset those that despise black people, sir?
I love my black brothers, and I try to do everything that I can to help them the same as they do for me.
What does that mean, you love your black brothers? What are you physically doing to offset your white counterparts who are despising black people?
Nothing.
Well, then it goes right back to what I said. You're just as guilty as the white people who put us in this condition. Until you are willing to challenge the authorities and the ruling powers of the white power structure and to physically get up off of your ass and do something for our people, you're just as guilty, sir. I'll let you have the last word.
I agree. I mean, I understand where you're coming from now. All right.
And so that's that. I'm not going to allow anyone to say that what we are saying is hate teaching. Everything that we are saying is love teaching. Thank you for your questions and your comments. Let's go to the next one. 404-931. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. We're ready for the revolution. Black Power. 404-931. You're on the air. Your mic's open. Black Power. 334-430, you're on the air, ready for the revolution. Black Power.
Black Power, brother. Is PD of LA still on?
Yeah, he's still here. You want to say something to it?
Yeah, let me ask him a question. Ask him, what do he feel about reparations, black people getting reparations?
Hold on. Let me see if I can pull him back. All right, you still with us, sir?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, did you catch the question?
Yes, I want to know, how do you feel about black people getting reparations?
Hold on, Peter. We can barely hear you. You're going to have to get your phone clear.
I'm sorry, man. This is Magic Jack. He's Magic Jack. Your people did work. They deserve, the ancestors of the people that have done the work deserve just as much as the people that actually done the work.
I can say you might need to roll up your window so I can sound like a fan's blowing in your phone.
Nah, man, I'm not even near a fan. I'm in my living room.
You got a bad reception going on here. The question is, what do you feel about reparations? I think he's saying, sir, he agrees we should get reparations.
Yeah, the reparations should happen. If I found gold mine today and I die tomorrow, then my grandchildren should get the gold mine. I agree 110% that reparations should be paid to people that was unnecessarily forced into labor here, mainly the southern states of the United States of America.
Okay, because, see, the reason I was telling him that in the chat room when he was saying that, I think that it's a cop-out for black people to try to blame people of today what happened yesterday. My thing is, you all benefited from slavery. That's how you all have your land, all your money. See, we got nothing. You see what I'm saying? So it's not like we're just sitting around here complaining and sounding our boo-hoo and wanting a handout from nobody. But everybody else that went through bad times, they got their reparations. We never got anything.
The Indians.
The Indians.
The Indians.
They
have their own land, their own casinos. Yeah, I know.
Exactly.
And you know what? When you asked me that in the room, it kind of flipped my mind. I didn't know exactly what you meant, reparations. But, yeah, I mean, now that that's out in the open, yeah, of course. Yeah, the Indians are getting it. I mean, come on. We owe it. We owe it.
It's like
Social Security.
It's not just the Indians that got it, the so-called Indian or red man that got it. You're talking about the so-called Jews got reparations.
Exactly.
The so-called Jews got reparations. 6.6 annual at one point. They got
I don't know about that.
The Latino community that got certain concessions and certain repairs for situations that they face. Who got reparations.
Yeah.
Every ethnic group who got it, including the Irish at a certain point, they all got it, and it has been denied to the black man and black woman in the hills of North America.
Why would
and
the
also,
Irish
not to,
and all
not to mention white
reparations.
People... Also, white people, like in places like Washington, D.C., also got reparations because they felt as if they lost money when they turned their slaves loose, so the government gave them reparations for that right there. While the blacks that were in physical slavery got nothing, the white masters got reparations from the government. But see, don't nobody complain about that right there. And then when we say something, oh, y'all weak, y'all just lazy and sitting around wanting a handout.
We've been there. We've been there with food stamps and shit. And I'm white.
That's the deception. You got more white people that's on food stamps and handouts from the government than you got black people.
Exactly.
You got to look at the statistics. You got more white people that's on
Louisiana,
food stamps and rent and other handouts than black people. Black people have not only built this country, black people control and push the industry in terms of labor. We are the labor force in America. Black people are the labor force, and I got to call it straight. Right now, behind the black man coming up, it's a Latino that's the labor force.
Yeah,
we run the
damn
thing, but we reap none of the benefits. None of the benefits. I mean, I'm just calling it what it is. None of the benefits. So who's reaping the benefits? Who's reaping the benefits?
Yeah.
All right, and then let's say this. I'm one of the poor ones. I'm not one of the rich ones.
I'm poor as shit.
Okay, then fine. That is what that is. But you still have a responsibility because at your poorest day, you still have a larger opportunity in America to make something of yourself than the average black man and black woman. That's real. That's real.
I'll tell you this much. What you've done with your show, you've reached more people right now than I probably reached with my business so far. I'm going to be honest with you. You probably reach more people that listen to you than what I've had with my business that listen to me right now.
I got to do my job. But what I'm saying is, we don't need you necessarily, you know, or white folks to necessarily try to do what Sean Kwalee doing. We need you all to do what you're supposed to do, which is give justice to the black man and black woman. If you run a business, let me say this to you: if you run a business and you are benefiting from the black dollar, you should give back to the black community.
But
conversation don't come up. That's it's not even an average thought because that's not the way society is structured.
Nobody's ever asked me. Nobody's ever asked me to help with black scholarships or I'd be more than happy. If I made 10 grand tomorrow, I'd be more than happy to give up 10% of that towards an African American scholarship, African American community, anything.
Man, listen. Listen, if you make 10 grand tomorrow, you email me at nbcphq@yahoo.com and cut the check for the new Black Panther Party. I'm telling you. Or if you're not going to do that, then give it to the community. Build up something in the community. But what I'm saying is, here's what I'm saying to you, sir. I'm saying, to be honest, at this stage, it's really too damn little too late. It's too little too late. If you had $10 million, it's too little too late, because as we said in the previous segment, there's nothing physically being done to overturn what your forefathers and foremothers have done to our people.
All right, can I say something? All right, my dad, my stepfather that raised me, owned a Western store, okay, cowboy boots and cowboy saddles and hats and shit like that, right? He forbid my black friends to come to my house. All right? I still snuck around to see my black friends and hang out with my black friends. All right? So coming from my father, being he was my same race, it messed me up. I thought it was just from our side of the fence. But now that I hear a show like this, I realize it ain't. You know, it's from both sides. I guess that's what hurt me more than anything, because I thought it was just my asshole father that didn't want my black friends around. But then I listen to a show like this, and I see this on both sides of the fence. He don't want black people around white people. You guys want black people respected from back then. I realize
that. And right now. And right now, because the thing is, we're not just suffering atrocities, sir, from the 50s. We're not just suffering atrocities from the 60s or 70s. We're suffering people right now. The things I said earlier, if you were listening, talking about Oscar Grant and Sean Bell and Sister Odessa and Rodney King and on and on and on, them things don't happen in the white community. They do not happen in the white community. If the stuff that happened to the black man and black woman happened in the white community, you all be out in the streets with guns right now in a revolt that'll make the Tea Party look like child's play. Tell me I'm lying.
If what happened to Rodney King happened to a white person, I swear, the freaking Los Angeles State will be shut down because it'd be sued so bad. It would be about a microphone and shooting guns. They'd be sued their ass off.
I already know. You are. I want the listening audience to hear it out of your mouth. I already know what I'm saying. And see, you spin doctors out there in the ADL and others. You have done a hell of a job to twist up the message of the new Black Panther Party, and make it as if we're teaching something that's racist and hateful. But will you say that against this white man on the phone who's saying the same thing that we're saying right now? Hell no. But you're scared of deaf Negroes out there that need to hear it from a white perspective. He's telling you right now what we're telling you is real. I didn't need your stamp of approval, but they need your stamp of approval.
Now that I've heard what you're talking about and you leading me to what your message is, better than what I was hearing before we spoke. Yeah, I agree. I understand where you're coming from now. I thought totally different.
Yep.
But now that I got a chance to speak to you and hear from, you know, my questions, let's say you dumbed it down for me, okay? You dumbed it down for me because I'm white doesn't mean that I study the dictionary every day and historiology or whatever they call the shit. Really, I'm just a white man in 2011 that has black friends. I'm white. I have Asian friends. I have Mexican friends. Everything, and I just didn't know what your message was. That's it.
Well, I hope tonight for you and many Caucasian people that are listening, that our point is clear. That our point is clear, and that what we are saying, the fight that we're pushing forward on is a just cause. We're not asking for handouts. We're not asking for associations. We're not asking for alliances. We are fighting for justice. If anybody out there wants justice, you ain't got no choice but to respect what we're saying. My brother, did you get your question answered? Did you get your question answered?
All right. What you did was basically show me that, yes, I can have all the black friends in the world that I want, but what am I doing to equalize humanity, basically?
I'm not even talking humanity. I'm talking the specific black agenda. I'm talking the specific black agenda, because there is no other people who have been robbed so thoroughly like our people have. Let me take another call here. 404-931. You're calling back in, ready for a revolution. Black Power.
Black Power, Sean.
Hey, Black Power. Who am I talking to?
Sister Kenaya from Nashville, Tennessee. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, what's happening? I'm doing pretty good. You enjoying the show?
Yes, sir. It's great. It's great. It's great.
Talk to me.
You know what? I have a comment. You know, there's a lot of white people who say that we shouldn't be angry. It didn't happen to us. It happened to our forefathers. Slavery did. It's over with. Well, we are suffering today. As a matter of fact, post-slave syndrome, we are still suffering. The Willie Lynch Act is in effect today, and it's trickled down
right.
from generation to generation. So
right.
the stuff is still happening. So
right.
for them to say that slavery is over with, no, it's not. We're still fighting it. Mentally.
What's even more criminal, let me tell you this. What's even more criminal is in some states, they're pushing right now to have slavery removed from their textbooks. They don't even want the mention of slavery in many of these textbooks, as if it was just, you know, a figment of our imagination. That's criminal as hell. But see, that's what happens when you have a people that don't have power and they don't have their own schooling system and they're subjected to another form of education or the oppressor's education. They're going to put whatever they want to put in the textbooks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm from a small town in West Tennessee, and we didn't have that many textbooks. Only thing that we can identify was who was the president of the United States. Only a couple, Dr. Martin Luther King, a little bit of slavery, Crispin Attucks, who took the first bullet. But we couldn't identify with nothing else as far as contribution to this country, and we helped build the damn country.
Right. But see, a lot of our own people, I don't know, even our own people that cannot believe that black people played a pivotal and foundational role in building the United States of America. Built it. I mean, the whole infrastructure from the top of the cabinets and government all the way down to the very structures of the foundations of the building. All you got to do is do some research. They won't even believe you, sister, many of them, if you tell them black people helped build this country. They wouldn't even believe you.
You right about that. But I read every book I could possibly in our little bit library. And my job, my mission is to educate others who are not aware of who they are. And we are not to identify ourselves with the street. Just because we're from poverty, whatever, we don't have to identify with that. We were kings and queens before we were even slaves.
Exactly. That's the word to our people. That's the word to our people. We were great before this, and we're great after this. I don't care what condition our people is in. See, they looking at our condition. They see the young boys and even some of the young girls sagging their pants and outside half naked and all this type of stuff. You seeing the conditions and the effects of white supremacist ideology and white power on our minds. But who were we before the conditions of slavery? Who were we before we were robbed? Who were we before we lost power? Who were we before we lost our damn minds? See? So that's why I appreciate you down there in Nashville, raising up Nashville, and you ain't going with the status quo and going with the flow and punking out. Man, I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart.
Appreciate you too, brother.
I'm serious. One day soon this year, man, you're going to have to bring us down to Nashville and let us raise up some Nashville, some strong Nashville. Can you do that?
Come on down.
Can you get us in Nashville?
Come on down. We ready.
All right. We're gonna work that out. You got my email?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, you gonna write it down?
Yes, let me get a pen and paper.
Hey, this is Black Power Radio. I'm about some organizing. Brothers and sisters, we are about organizing. I'm going to have to do a part two to this Ready for the Revolution. But I just want to say that we're on right now on the after show. We're on right now streaming. I just want to tell you all to be prepared for June the 25th, the National Day of Action, laying the framework for self-independence in a nation of our own. And you're hearing it here first. The black man and woman must do for self and stop begging others for we can unite and do for ourselves. You ready, sister?
Okay, brother.
All right. It's Sean with a C. C-H-A.
Okay.
W-N.
Mm-hmm.
K-W.
Mm-hmm.
E-L-I. Sean Kwali at yahoo.com.
Okay.
Send me an email, maybe tonight. Send me that email. I email you back. We want to come down to Nashville and raise it up, man.
Okay.
Hell with the regular festivities of Nashville. We want to raise up some black power in Nashville.
Love to have you. And Jackson's ready, too. Jackson, Tennessee is ready.
And Jackson, Tennessee, huh?
Any of
Tennessee that's ready or that's potentially ready, you let us know. We want to come in and light a fire in there that's not going to die out.
Yeah, it's time for Tennessee to be put on the map. We need it.
And I'm serious. So you got my email. I ain't gonna give you all the information over this line. You know how the devils do. But you got my email. So email me. And we're gonna connect from there.
Okay, brother.
All right, sister. Peace. Much love to you. Keep struggling.
Peace.
Black power.
Peace. Black power, brother.
I'm telling you, family. Listen, we got to stand up. We got to stand. Let me take this last little call in here. 786-663. On the air, Black Power Radio. We're ready for the revolution. Black Power.
Hey, Black Power, man. It's Knuffins, the camera calling from Miami, Florida. You feel me? And
hey,
I'm going to keep it on the basis as far as, I mean, you know, how you doing, brother, first and foremost?
I'm doing fine, my warrior.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you're saying, you know what I'm saying? And let me tell you why I appreciate it, because I'm going through a little thing right now myself, and I think I can speak better on my behalf, because I'm really going through what you're talking, you feel me? I mean, all these little... I mean, I'm going to just keep it raw, you feel me? I'm from the hood, you feel me? But I ain't no, I like what sister said, you know what I'm saying? Don't make yourself a little, you know what I'm saying, addition to poverty or whatever, you know what I'm saying? I want to be bigger and better than that, you know what I'm saying? I'm an active gang member right now, and I'm quite frankly, I don't give a fuck, I mean, how everybody else thinks about that, you know what I'm saying? I know what I do.
Right.
But brotherhood reasons,
what's
that,
shit,
violent out
play,
here. I see dykes, I see fag niggas, you feel me? I hate all that shit, and it's destroying. But it's destroying really, like, you know what I'm saying, trying to have unity as far as what we originally stood for as a people, and not only as a people, as humans. I feel like being inhumane as we are right now, as black people, as a people, period, you know what I'm saying, even as a human being, as far as what a human being is defined as being, period, and more positively, you know what I'm saying, put into that perspective, you know what I'm saying, what a human being is supposed to be, we ain't supposed to be at the bottom, like, I was at work the other day, you know what I'm saying. And my boss, you know, I'm gonna agree with you with these little pussy ass niggas. You feel me? My boss himself. I just got off work. I work on landscaping for the city or whatever. And I'm driving home. We had to stop, like, and I see this homeless dude, right? Homeless
right.
Black dude. And I had $7 in my pocket. And I'm like, I gave him $2. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't think nothing of it. I ain't think, oh, I'm gonna get this back from. The karma, none of that shit. I just telling me help somebody out. You feel me?
Right.
My boss, he black. He from Nigeria. This nigga's born in Nigeria, born and raised. Came over here like 17 years ago. All right, man. And I have my other coworker with me in the truck going home. They start bitching about me giving this man $2, which is eight quarters. You know what I'm saying? It's just breaking it down, simplifying the shit. It's just eight quarters. You know what I'm saying? I could buy two, like,
right.
Like two cans sodas about that, and what's wrong with me giving it to him? Oh, man, he a crackhead. He on. What the fuck does it matter? I mean, we going through worse right now, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
These motherfuckers right here coming through Zoom through the neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? Just harassing
right.
Niggas about where your ID at. It's like we Mexicans
right.
And shit. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? I ain't a motherfucking Mexican. I'm a U.S. citizen. I mean, if you want to put it in that aspect, like you said, with law, law is not equally shared amongst us. Because I could walk down my street right now, you know what I'm saying, and I could be educated as I am, and I'm still treated like fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. What set you claim? What's your set?
Oh, I'm outlaw 20. I mean, really? I'm going to be real raw. You know what I'm saying? I was fucking with some other niggas out of town, but I feel like I'm trying to do what you do on some brand shit. Because, like I said, it's niggas, and it's real niggas and it's house niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Doubt.
You got these niggas who want to put on with that music shit. When they get out here fucking up the goddamn cause of what brotherhood and unity is about, you know what I'm saying, originally, you know what I'm saying, not even going as far back as the 60s with the Panthers, I'm talking about our collective selves as people, as a people, as a whole, you know what I'm saying, showing love, like, what's up, bro, you just call my homie, like, what's up, you scrape, what's up, cuz, oh, you good, you know what I'm saying, what's up, you scrape,
all right.
Not calling me, oh, you got a dollar, you got this, or, you know what I'm saying? Not even when I'm in trouble, but on some real life shit, you know what I'm saying? And I don't see that a lot around here. And I'm really feeling like corporatism, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Colonialism as a whole is fucking up.
Right.
People's
minds
right now.
Right. What
right.
city you in, brother?
I'm in Kansas City, Miami.
Okay. I think you told me that. All right, well, dig this. I'm feeling what you're saying 100%. And I want you to know from your big army, our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and the entire new Black Panther Party, we ain't got nothing but love for you. In my last show, I broke down what all the original OG acronyms of all of the tribes was, whether you're talking Crip or whether you're talking Piru or whatever it is.
Oh, I'm blood.
All
that. But, you know, just to speak on that, I was on what I'm on right now. It's so far beyond what everybody else or the trend of this brotherhood shit is. I mean, that crack of mind shit is like infiltrating the mindset of us even banging on that beat. I'm saying like just banging on the mindset of it, not just the physical aspect, but the mindset, the social, the way people dress, the way people talk and react and respect each other. You know what I'm saying? That shit is lacking right now. And you know what I'm saying? I see weakness a lot of people. And at the same time, I can't ignore the fact that the condition I'm living in right now, like you say, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about the rest of you niggas, you know what I'm saying? But I'm right here.
Let me ask you this, man. Listen, you got my email?
Oh no, I'm on that Facebook. I'm on the Facebook though. I'll be on there really. They just really built my mental, you know what I'm saying, built my mind as far as connecting. But grassroots shit, hold up, let me get this pen real quick. Let me write that down. Hold on. I'm going to type it on my phone. What is it?
All right. You can hit me on Facebook. It's C-H-A.
C-H-A.
Yeah, C-H-A-W-N, Sean with a C, K-W-E-L-I, C-H-A-W-N-K-W-E-L-I on Facebook. Sean Quasi, what we doing right now, my brother Soldier, we building National Day of Action committees. We want to build right there in Florida too. We got some comrades on the ground in Florida. We want to build up stronger in Florida. We want some stronger Florida on just what you talking about, on some positive action. For the most, any of them street tribes can be organized into positive, effective fighting forces for the Black community. All that you want have constitutions, rules, regulations, codes of thug life, all of that. And like I said in the last show, the new Black Panther Party is your political figurehead every time, because every OG set case from the Black Panther Party. So what you got to do is connect with me and connect with your family, the new Black Panther Party, and get into this revolutionary ideology so you can affect some real change in your neighborhood. Dig that?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do right now. Get all these house niggas out of here, my nigga. But at the same time, brother, I clicked up with an RBG dude down there. Brother Fahim, I think.
Brother Fahim is our people.
He came over the house one time, as a matter of fact. Me and my sister, you know what I'm saying? We trying to change the, he's refine the Panther Party as far as the mentality goes and the mindset goes. You know what I'm saying? The mentality has to change the head got to change with the body, and the head governs the body, you know what I'm saying? In any organization, if you want to put it like that.
Fahim needs your help. He needs your mind. He needs your organizational talent. He needs your mouthpiece. Hook up with Brother Fahim. Y'all click up and click tight, and y'all build something. I believe that you can do it. I can hear your spirit. You can do it right now with the spirit that you got and the will that you got and the determination that you got. You right now, with the talent that you have, can organize your brothers and sisters to organize, to have power and control in your own community. You can do that. You can do that, brother.
Because I ain't no scared of these crackers. Little homie come up to me like on some regular neighbor shit. Like, man, shit, man, like, man, them crackers, they be ducking their head. Like, man, don't duck your fucking head, man. Fuck that nigga. He come in your room with the vest phone, feel me? He comes in your room with the vest phone. He's scared of your unarmed ass. Remember, there's a reason they come here with a whole bunch of fucking guns. They come here crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, niggas ducking their head. Fuck you ducking your head for, man. Man, they got credit to ask you, where the fuck your ID at, man? I'm walking up to you right behind you, be like, man, fuck you, nigga. Fuck you,
that's because you got the strength. Those who got the strength got to lead, brother. And God may have put the ability, the black God may have put the ability in you to lead and to not be a follower into BS. And so what you got to do is begin to grow in your role and step up into your responsibility. I look forward to building with you off of the air, and look forward to building with you in the streets. I look also to come into Florida. I want to come into Florida, man, and bring this light and bring this truth from the new Black Panther Party and Dr. Malik Roushabaz in the Florida, man. So link up with me.
I linked up with a few of my people yesterday. We were having a little meeting, you could say. You know what I'm saying? You could say in that respect. You know what I'm saying? But we had a little talk about that yesterday. And I'm really trying to just have people. First, it's love. It's love first and foremost for my regular homies. You know what I'm saying? I ain't racist. I can agree with you on that shit. I don't even know what the fuck it means to be racist. I mean, I'm not ignorant. I'm finna, like, saying shit like I'm not finna bang on a nigga about a hue of a color. But I understand where I stand at and where my people stood at and why I'm in the position I am right now. You know what I'm saying?
They're trying to interface shit with.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Who's smart? I mean, the smart kids are just as opportunistic as getting a good education, a good job, a good living condition, good benefits, good credit. What the fuck is that? That's not human. That's not teaching me to be human. When I go to school, I mean, that's just thing like, damn, my nigga. I mean, I want to learn how to help people, you know what I'm saying? Like, what if I'm sick, I get cut? You know what I'm saying? How am I supposed to learn how to stitch myself up? I got to go to school and pay all this fucking money I don't have. You know what I'm saying? So that's short-term me right there. Even if I let it in my heart to do this type of thing, you know what I'm saying, in this type of field or whatever, or even be a lawyer with good intent, even though I know what a lawyer is, but I'm saying, like, with good intent, the intent, the motive. But my motive cannot be even exercised based on my living conditions or was given to me at birth, piss poor, being piss poor. And I'm not mad that I'm piss poor because I don't care about money. It's something much higher than that because I'm still surviving out here, obviously. So I'm not complaining.
Exactly. Well, one thing for sure, brother, don't you ever let nobody take your manhood from you. Don't you let nobody ever take your principles from you. Don't let nobody ever take your honor from you. Stay a soldier. I don't want you to ever stop banging. I don't want you to stop banging. I just want you to bang for the right reason. And bang for the right purpose. Bang on this beast, bang on this system, and bang for freedom. So we're gonna build off of the line, brother. If you will permit, I'm gonna build off of the line with you, off of the air.
That's most definitely gonna happen. I'm gonna get on that right now. I'm gonna talk to my cousin right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get off the phone and go holler at him and let him know what's up by that daybreak tomorrow, midday or whatever. Then I'll come over and slide. And you know what I'm saying? We have a little talk. I'm going to pick up with Fahim again because I got put on with him by somebody on Facebook. I forgot. Shabazz, Sister Shabazz put me on him.
Well, that's good. That means we're doing some work. So what I'm gonna say to you is you make sure that you as soon as possible hit me on Facebook. I'm gonna get your information. I'm gonna get you a copy of the 10-point program. We're gonna link you over with some strong soldiers in Florida. We're gonna get you rolling. We want you to be participating in our Day of Action, June the 25th, which is us doing something good wherever we are.
Yeah, what's all that about? Yeah, I mean, I was listening. What's all that about? I wanna see what's over there. Cause my sister was telling me something about
June the 25th is a national day of action for Black people. We're pushing for self-determination, so we don't continue to be in the same condition as beggars and poor people. And we go for self-determination in a land of our own power, political force, economic force. And so we're organizing on the ground. And what we're asking every Black man and Black woman and concerned indigenous man and indigenous woman to do is to do positive things for Black people on June the 25th. It could be something as simple as doing a clothes drive. It could be something as simple as teaching the babies on that day. It could be education and stop the enormous HIV/AIDS rate that's happening. Whatever you can do, brother, that's in your grasp of power to help to overturn this condition that we in, we ask that you participate in unity with us on June the 25th on that day. The website, brother, is dayofactionmovement.org. dayofactionmovement.org. Make sure you can go back and listen to this broadcast again when we get off the air and catch it again. But get all the way involved. It ain't no time for sideline cheerleaders and people sitting around talking about what need to happen. It's all about those that are willing to make it happen. You dig me?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna definitely get in contact with you. I'm going to go ahead and do that right now.
That's what's up. As soon as you hit me, my dear brother, I'm going to get all the information to you, the programs, the websites, everything that you need to be successful on the ground. We're organizing for a life-changing work that will help our people walk in the light of a brighter sun.
All right.
All right. Peace and blessings, family. Nothing but love for you. Black
power. Peace. Black power. Yeah.
All right. So, dear brothers and sisters, we're organizing. I'm telling you, people can be organized from any aspect of the world, no matter what their background is, no matter what their persuasion is, no matter what their religion is, no matter what they feel about a situation. Our people can be organized. Stop letting people tell you that Black people cannot be organized, that we can't wake up, that we can't clean up, that we can't stand up. We will, and we are waking up. We're cleaning up. We're standing up. We're building up. We're building a Black economy, building a Black nation. We're pushing for Black power. We're fighting against the inequality, fighting against the poverty, fighting against the degradation, fighting against the police brutality, fighting against insecurity and unemployment, these low-paying jobs, bad health care, bad schools, inadequate housing, bad medical facilities, and short lifespans. We cannot stand these intolerable conditions anymore. We're asking you, family, to organize with us, your brothers and sisters that are in the party for the Black man and Black woman, the new Black Panther Party. Organize with us on June the 25th as we push towards self-determination and building a nation of our own, since we know that America only desires to keep us as slaves. Only desires to keep us as cheap labor and keep us in prison. We're building for ourselves. Email us. Number one, if you're willing to help the Panther Party, we need more brothers and sisters, more Black brothers and sisters to stop being scared of Black power and begin to organize for Black power. Our email is nbpphq@yahoo.com. One more time for you, nbpphq@yahoo.com. Make it a point to send your name, a way we can contact you, and your concern. If you are concerned about raising up Black people and you know that everybody else is BSing and playing games or it ain't working for you somewhere else, then organize with the new Black Panther Party. We have not let you down. We are consistent. We have over 20-year track record of staying the course, and we're not going down and deteriorating. We're getting bigger and bigger as the weeks go by. We're growing stronger and stronger as the weeks and the months go by. Ultimately, we will organize the entire black nation into one united force and one united front for our revolutionary political power. And if you're interested to know more about how you can help, the Day of Action Movement, the Day of Action Movement that it first took place in over 60 cities, and now we intend to add 60 more cities in America, the cities that are in England, the cities that are in London, the cities that are in France and South Africa, Tanzania, the cities that are in Canada. We intend to take this movement across the globe. If you are ready for some action and tired of talking about the way the black community is, and you're ready to fight the evil and repel evil, what's good and what's best, visit us at dayofactionmovement.org. And also, you can send your information to that email at nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. Right now, email us, nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. We're going to get in touch with you. We're going to change some lives. We're going to change life. Believe what I'm telling you. We will change your life if you're willing to organize. Your life will be changed. It won't just be us doing it. You will do it. You will change the very existence if you're tired of the gunfire, tired of us killing each other, tired of our conditions. All it takes is organizing for power to overthrow the bullshit. Excuse me. And so email us at nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com, dayofactionmovement.org. And we need more Panthers. We need more Panthers. We got plenty of Panthers now. But we want to overwhelm the opposition with Panther Party. Everywhere this cracker look, we want them to see Panthers. Panthers. Panthers in their dreams. Panthers when they're awake. Panthers when they're at lunch. Panthers when they're driving down the street. Panthers when they're flying on the airplane. Panthers when they're under the water in their submarines. We want Panthers everywhere in the hills of North America. NVPPHQ@yahoo.com. The call is freedom or death. Freedom or death. It's freedom for us. I ain't nobody going to be free. It's black power for black people. It's black power for black people. You got to say that. Black power for black people. And we wish you all peace when possible. Peace when possible, but violence if necessary. I'm your brother, your soldier in arms, and comrade in battle. My name is Sean Kwali. I'm just your servant. I'm just your brother, and I'm just a warrior for the liberation and salvation of my people. In the spirit of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and his number one student and national representative, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Until next time, we leave you with peace as always, freedom of death, black power for black people, and it's peace for black people, and nobody has peace at all. Black power.